Deviating from our study in 1 John, and we are in Titus chapter 3. If you would join me there, please. Titus chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by His Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Let us pray. Our Father and our King, again, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for preserving it. We thank You for bringing it to us. We thank You, Father, for giving us ears to hear and hearts to understand. Now we pray, God, that You will open our hearts and our minds. And we pray, Father, that we will be transformed. Warn the people that You would have us be. Father, may we be loving. May we be gracious. May we be doing good. Not in the fashion in which we hope to earn our salvation, but God, because You have changed us, because You have transformed us by loving us and calling us to be Yours. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look with me again at verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Be careful. Be careful. These words should ring in our ears. They should send up a warning. Someone says to you, be careful. You know that the direction you're going, there's dangers, there's troubles. When I was in my early teens, someone told me, be careful, and I was leaving a track meet. I'm sorry, my early 20s. I was leaving a track meet. I looked at them and I grinned and I said, no. Because I was pretty confident I was immortal at that time for some reason. Later, I was driving down a steep hill that was infamous for its turns and how dangerous it was. And I lost all control of my vehicle. I lost my power brakes. I lost my power steering. My steering wheel actually locked up. And the harder I pressed on the brakes, didn't make any difference. I was still picking up speed. And I was approaching a ravine where there's trees. I thought about jumping out of the car. But when I thought about it, a tree struck the side of my car, exploding the side view. There was nowhere for me to go. And I looked ahead. And there was one tree. That big around, maybe big enough to stop me. And I hit it. And the front end of my car caved into my radiator, exploded. Branches fell down on top of the car. Debris flew everywhere. And everything was quiet. And I heard, be careful. You know, what I did wasn't a result of not being careful, but you're in this position and you're in a place where there's real danger here for you. These verses talk about be gracious. or be kind to everyone. Why wouldn't we do that? Well, you people of Eastvale, you Christians, by comparison, you are beautiful. You are beautiful people. I see you love one another, and I see you love God. But what about the unlovely? How do you feel towards them? The people trapped in their sins, the people returning to their sins as dogs return to vomit. How do you treat them? See, God calls you to be careful, to be gracious, and to do good. Because you have been washed. You have been regenerated. You've been loved. One way that we do this, see, God does a beautiful thing in these scriptures. He starts off by telling you what to do. He says, obey authorities. Be good. Be gracious. He says, because you used to be like this. Then he says, but my loving kindness appeared and changed you. So be good. Be loving. And be gracious. One of the ways we do this is remembering who you would be apart from Christ. Or even maybe, if you were saved later in your life, who you were apart from Christ. Look with me at verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. You see, the scriptures tell us that we were dead in our sins. Now, having grown up in a rural area and on a farm, I know there's two different kinds of dead. There's dead, and there's dead, dead, nasty dead. Dead is something that's died recently of a nonviolent death. Dead, dead, nasty dead is just the opposite. It stinks and it's rotten and it's putrid. The scripture, by these descriptions, tell us that we were dead, dead, nasty dead. Foolish. Disobedient. Enslaved to sin and lust. Hating and hating one another. You know, you get this image. Imagine the worst you. The worst you, tied up and enslaved in these ropes of sin. Sitting in a dark corner, covered in filth and hating. Seething with hatred. See, that's who you would be or who you were apart from Christ. Recently, I had the blessing of watching my children on a public playground. They were nearby. There was a football practice and a cheerleading practice going on. And so we had all the little brothers and sisters running around playing, completely unattended. And they were a blessing to see. It was horrible. Horrible. They were hating each other, yelling at each other, trying to enforce authority on each other, just being completely selfish, completely rude. It was the picture of depravity. This playground. I was miserable there. Now, how do you enjoy being around fools? I know it's not nice to call people fools. And I hope you don't think of them necessarily that way. But someone who thinks they know, thinks they have it all together, and they won't hear you. And the worst part is you're forced to work with them and to deal with them on a daily basis. How do you like that? It's miserable. It takes everything you have not to let them know what they are. How many of you enjoy seeing disobedient children? Loud, unruly, disrespectful to parents. Do you enjoy that? Do you like being around them? How many of you enjoy being around people and seeing people trapped in sin? People created in the image of God, yet wallowing in darkness, running back and rolling in the same mud puddles. Do you like that? Do you like seeing that? Is that a great image for you? How many of you like seeing people who hate each other go at it? See, what the scriptures here tell us is you or all of these things? It's hard to see. It's a tough mirror put in front of you. Unless you really look in and see, like even the hating one another. Jesus tells you, you know, if you hate somebody, you're guilty of murder. That's how bad this is. You know, anytime that we turn against what God has said and don't do it, you know, or do something different, we're disobedient children. And it doesn't seem like the worst kids that are doing it are the ones that are doing it in their parents' full view. That's who we are. See, that's who you were. Maybe who you are. So we were these dead, dead, nasty, dead people. Then things look up for you. Look with me at verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, you were in a tortured state, in a living hell. And that is how you would have continued if it had not been for the mercy of God. See, this all goes back to how we're relating to the unlovely, the dead, dead, and nasty dead. You know, why aren't you dead, dead, nasty dead anymore? Simply because of the mercy of God. In the circles I used to travel, and there were people that they would not take charity. They simply would have nothing to do with it. They say, I don't take charity. And they would even talk about their own pride. You see, but you are saved because of charity. I would say to people, you won't take this money, but you would take Christ's life to save you. You see, you were saved by charity. There is no room in our lives to be puffed up because of who we are. There's no room for us to look down on anyone else, even the dead, dead, nasty dead. Because that's who you were. Or if you were raised in the church, that's who you would be apart from Christ. Those of you who have had wonderful Christian parents with a beautiful legacy, how would things be different if you had had the drug-dealing father? How would things be different for you? I'd like you to even consider your life right now, what it would be apart from the mercy of Christ. And then remember, but He saved you. But He saved you. And the mercy of Christ came and He saved you. Not because of righteous things you had done, but because of His mercy. Be gracious and do good, because you have been justified. In our Sunday school class this morning, I asked somebody, what's it mean? Do you know what it means? Well, what it means is you were guilty. You were caught. You were deserving of the punishment, and you stood before the judge. And now the judge has leveled his finger at you and said, you're innocent. You're justified. You are good. because Christ took the penalty for your sin. It has been paid. Now, if you want to do it in kid terms, you had the report card with all S. And you're coming home to face the music. Jesus had straight A's and he swapped you. He took what you deserved. It wasn't a spank. It was death. The King of the universe took your death and you are justified. You were the villain. Christ not only took the penalty, but he changed your heart. Gave you new birth. So you have the ability to love. You have the ability to be gracious. You have the ability to follow and to obey. And be gracious and do good. Because God has made you heirs. Look with me at verse 7. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. An heir, a child of God. Listen to how the longer catechism says it. Adoption is an act of the free grace of God in and for his only Son, Jesus Christ, whereby all those that are justified are received into the number of his children. Have his name put on them, the spirit of his Son given to them, are under his fatherly care and dispensations, admitted to all the liberties and privileges of the sons of God, made heirs of all the promises and fellow heirs with Christ in glory. You have been made fellow heirs with Christ in glory. When I was a child, my brothers and sisters and I went through this phase where if we saw something our parents had and we liked it, we would say, when you're dead, can I have that? Now that might sound shallow, but my dad has a ski boat. What Christ offers you as an heir is nothing compared to a ski boat. You know what Christ offers you as an heir? You've been called a child of God and you're going into his glory. This is something great. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. You are heirs of a kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. This is the place that you have been blessed with. You know, remember, God said, first, as we started, be good, be kind to everyone, obey. Remember, you were nasty. I saved you. Now look at who you are. Look at who you are. You should marvel, not at the evil of the world, but of the good that you're able to do. Not of the wickedness that you see, but marvel that you are not that. Marvel that Christ has loved you and changed you. He has washed you and made you new. So be gracious and do good, remembering God cleansed you and washed you of your filth. Look with me at verses 3 and 5. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. We'll continue to verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. See, you have been washed. You have been made new. You were that person tied in the corner in ropes of sin, covered in filth, seething in hatred. But He saved you. But He washed you. But He made you new. I have had the privilege of seeing three of my children born. They were beautiful. No. They were filthy. They were a mess. They were screaming. Everyone tells you, they're beautiful. I guess grandparents have a love that a father can't know. You see, and we were like that. Nasty. Screaming. You know, but then the nurses, they took my babies and they wiped them all off. They cleaned them all up. Put a hat on them so their head didn't look so wicked nasty. You know, and they gave them to me. And they were beautiful. You know, I could say, this is my son. This is my daughter. You know, you weren't pretty. But He washed you. But He cleaned you. And He dressed you up. You know, and that's why you are beautiful people of Eastvale. People of Geneva. That's why you're beautiful. Because you have been cleansed. And you have been washed. You know, we have this whole thing going through. We see that God calls you, changes you, gives you repentance and faith, and He justifies you and He adopts you, makes you His child. And because of that, He says, be gracious. Because of that, He says, do good. Even be careful to do good. Because of who you are now. Because I have loved you and changed you. Be gracious and do good. In verse 8, it said to stress this message to your people confidently. Well, that's what I'm called to do now. To stress it to you. You know, be careful. You know, my friend said to me, be careful. Every time I see that friend now, we part company, they grin. They say, be careful. And I, every time, I say, okay. You know, this is the God of the universe putting His hand on your shoulder, looking you in the eye and saying, be careful to do good. Be careful to be gracious. You know, how seriously should we take that? In our family worship, we were in 2 Samuel and we hit chapter 6. You have David and the men of Israel marching up to the temple to they're taking the Ark of the Covenant and they put it on a new cart. And I told my boy, God didn't say carry the Ark on a cart. He said carry it on the poles. But does God really care about stuff like that? He said, no. So let's see. And then the Ark tipped. Uzziah put his hand on it and God struck him dead. God care about stuff like that? You know, if God says be careful, should you be careful? If God says be careful to do good, what does this mean for you? Well, it's not just nonchalantly going about your day and trying not to do bad. But it's a way of life. Careful to do what is good. You know, careful to treat him as your dad. The good one, the Father that you love. Careful to run and see what he says. If I call for my children front and center, that means run to your dad, stand there and see what he says. Then do it. You know, be careful to do what is good. Run to your dad. Run to what he has said. Run to the commands that he's given you. You know, we're not just laying this out as something that we have to do. We go to church Sunday morning because that's a good thing to do. And we'll go to Bible study if we feel like it. And maybe we'll go to prayer meeting. No. This is being careful to have a way of life that loves your Father because he saved you. You know, because he called you. Because he transformed your heart and justified you and adopted you. And you have a new heart now. You're not the dead, dead, nasty, dead person. But you're the one that's been given the new heart. And he says, be careful to do what's good. This is going to mean there's nasty things that you're not going to do. This is going to mean there's fruitless things that you're not going to do. But what it really means is you're going to love your dad and do what he wants you to do because you love him. That's what it really means. So, Titus 3, 1 and 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. Be obedient. To be ready to do whatever is good. And to slander no one. To be peaceable and considerate. And to show true humility towards all men. Why? Because of who you were or who you would be apart from Christ. It is easy. It is so easy to look down on poor parents. I don't mean financially poor. I mean the ones who will send their kids out in the morning, lock the door, and say, come back for dinner. It's easy. It's so easy to look down on your fellow students who are running around doing every wickedness that they could. So easy to look down on your co-workers who just do as much as they can get away with. So easy to look down on everybody that isn't washed and regenerated. But remember, that is who you were. Or that is who you would be apart from Christ. You were washed. You have been justified. You have been made heirs. You have been loved. So this is the call. This is the message for you. Be gracious. And do good. So simply. Because you have been washed and cleansed. And Jesus Christ is taking the penalty for your sins. Let us pray. Our God and our King, Lord, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in you, Father, because you have loved us. Because you have called us, Father. Lord, you have given us faith and repentance. God, you have justified us and you have adopted us. God, may we leave here today with this hope. Not beat down, but encouraged. That you look to us with pleasure. You look to us with joy. Because you look at us and you see your Son. Father, you have washed us and cleansed us. And may we live that life. Rejoicing in you and who you are. My Father, we lift up this assembly. We lift up this body of believers. We lift up those who can't be here with us but love you God, we ask for your blessings on Elma. And we know how she would long to be here. And we pray that you bless her where she is. We pray, Father, that you would make us faithful to pray for her and to visit her and send her cards. God, for those of us who are sick and weary, we pray, Lord, for encouragement and we pray for strength. God, as we saw in the psalm that we read this morning, that you do look on us with pleasure. God, and we pray that we would be strong and stand firm holding the double-edged sword. That we would hold your word close and write it on our hearts, and that it would flow in us, God. That we would be your faithful servants. That we would be gracious, and that we would do good, because we have been washed. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.